A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds. And they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Treat mom to healthy, glowing skin with Osea's limited edition skincare sets. Osea has been making clean, seaweed-infused products for nearly 30 years. Their Golden Glow body set includes 3 clinically proven bestsellers for smooth, glowing skin, while the Glow and Go facial set provides spa-level results at home. Both sets come in giftable boxes with savings up to $48 and free shipping for a limited time. For 10% off your first order site-wide, go to oseamalibu.com and use code MOM.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled woe period begone, wherever you listen to podcasts, or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.
Welcome to episode 169 of the Rustical Gaming Podcast.
Nice.
I'm your host and GM, Alex, and you're with me today. I have
Ben Meredith,
Bryn Monroe,
Lydia Nicholas, and Helen Poot.
And who are you playing?
Zof Smith,
Hamid Salah Harun Al Tahan,
Sel Sidebottom,
and Azu!
Helen, don't deny that you are loving this.
I am, but my poor girl, my poor little lady.
At least she's in the hands of Bryn and not Alex.
Yeah.
So, you know.
This is fair. This is very fair. With that in mind, then, I am actually going to have to pick us up pretty much where we left off, which is with everyone just starting to wake up. I am going to lay out the following stage direction in inverted commas and then leave people to deal with it, okay? Cacophony in shoes. Oh no, what's happening?
Stay calm. Okay. Everybody stay calm. Please, everyone calm.
I said fine, everyone's just here.
Everyone, please.
I am now going to have to accelerate to after initial cacophony wears off.
Well, as an aside, while Zolf is upstairs and can hear that, he just goes, oh, I'm so glad I'm not down there.
It is a box of mess, is how it sounds to you. It's just like, and every single person is freaking out, but a couple of people are saying calm down, so it's probably fine. You know,
what is it with us and boxes? You had an exposition box, chatter box, and now messy box, cursed box.
Soundscaping, it's a nightmare. I'll put you in any box I can find.
Soundproof box.
In fact, I might just get you all to have your next meeting in one of the bags of holding. It's just easier.
Get us in an anechoic chamber and just have a complete mind melt as you try and soundscape absolute silence.
Surprisingly hard when you're all in different rooms.
I assume just there would be static. Just like, this is the creeping psychic presence.
I'd resort to narration. That's what I would do. So, I will say that the initial cacophony has worn off. Everyone has converted from loud panic to quiet panic.
Sel puts a name tag on everyone. It's in both English and Japanese.
It takes a little while, as there's more than one person who gets confused, assuming that you're labelling the bodies or gets confused. Like, in fact, at some point, one person's like, who am I? Wait, who am I? Like, it's all a bit much.
It's very important that we know the mapping, Alex. Would you like to lay out for us at this point the mapping?
Would you like your mapping now?
Yes, please. I've got a pen, I've got paper.
This comes with the caveat that I will pull back the curtain on. Alex generated a large way of randomising this process, which was elaborate, interesting, and would have been fun. It generated a result I didn't like, so I scrapped it and did it again. Here's where we're at. Are you ready? You got
yes.
your pens, you got your papers?
I've got
Excellent.
My notepad open.
Zolf is inside Zolf's body.
Oh, God, Alex.
Cell is in Cell.
Ah!
Hamid is in Azu. Sigif is in Hamid. Wild is in Wild.
Very appropriate for 169.
Hey. Merc is in Barnes. Natan is in Carter. Sasra is in Earhart. Dral is in Sigif. Skrark is in Kiko.
Okay.
Kiko is in Friedrich. I'm not sure of the pronunciation on this one. Tradica, is it?
Tadika.
Tadika, there's a typo there on my end, sorry. Tadika is inside Skrark. Driak is inside Dral. Carter is inside Natan.
Oh no, he can be extra sneaky.
Yep.
Earhart is inside Tadika.
Good.
Friedrich is inside Driak. Barnes is inside Sasra. And Azu, as we all know, is inside Merc.
Is it Merc or Mirk? I thought Bryn keeps saying Mirk.
I'm pronouncing it incorrectly.
I mean, it's Indraconic and it's a transliteration.
Okay.
So we're doing our best.
I get the impression it's more Merc, isn't it?
Yeah, it's like Merc. A cobbledish, draconic-ish sound. I've spelt it M-E-E-R-K.
So basically, all of our attempts to say it are mispronunciations.
Yes.
At different levels of irritation.
Because none
Although,
of us
interestingly,
could actually speak draconic.
Right.
Interestingly, thinking on it, I think I northernized it for me. Merc. I actually think I northernized it. Okay. That is your layout. People are now quietly freaking out and processing. And what keeps happening is that people are naturally gravitating towards the sort of pairings and groups that they have historically. And then realizing that they're not pairing with the people that they think they're pairing with. And they're starting conversations with the wrong person. Till eventually everyone's
they
broadly
have name
speaking
tags.
Just...
They've all got name tags.
True.
All got name tags.
True. But nonetheless, people broadly end up just sitting in a circle because... It feels weird.
This is going to be... This is like some kind of really, really odd team-building exercise. It's a literal walk a mile in someone else's shoes.
Azu is absolutely clinging to Hamid's side, not just because, you know, she sees Hamid as one of her closest friends, but because she's like, maybe if I stay near my body long enough, I will osmosis my way back inside.
Like, cells, while everyone's sat down, they're going to try and take a bit of... You know, hold a bit of space and just be like, okay, buddies, just I think it's really good. Now, if we're in, if well, not me, obviously, I'm me. I mean, you're all you, but you get it. If we have some ground rules, so no one feels upset or worried about what might happen to their body during this time, right? So maybe some rules, maybe not getting drunk. Maybe you know, hold off on the romance. Maybe don't throw yourself into an unwinnable battle. Like, just think of you're holding someone else's property, and it's good to be kind to it and to yourself.
I absolutely agree with Sal. I think it's very important that we each try to return the bodies in the state in which we found them. And
Carter,
and I
Carter,
am,
where are you, Carter?
I'm sure that we can accomplish that. We, you know,
Carter,
we will be able to return the bodies. I
you
am confident
dare,
that
Carter.
That is a thing
don't
we can accomplish.
You, where are, I, where are... Barnes, in inverted commas, immediately plants himself next to Carter, with just dead-eyeing him.
For the sake of clarity, and because the audience can't see the bunny fingers you're doing, if you refer to,
From
like...
From now on,
mines,
I will refer to
yeah.
character names as mines, yes. Barnes ends up sat next to Carter and just dead-eye staring him the
and
whole
that's
time.
Mirk and Natan.
They're both kobolds.
Yeah, that's Mirk and Natan's bodies. So you've got two kobolds just looking at each other with complete hate. No.
Mirk. Barnes. Barnes.
Barnes is Sasra and Carter is Natan. So The bodies of Natan and Sasra are now staring at each other.
Okay, I've got that wrong. I was reading it the wrong way around. This is...
Why did you do this, Alex? It's hard to read.
Barnes is dead-eye staring Carter. Carter, however, looks like Christmas came early.
Carter, I feel like it's important for me to say this and that you understand completely what I'm saying when I just say, no.
Carter is currently not listening and playing with his tail.
He loves it. He thinks it's the best. That is not your tail. You had better not hurt it. No. Are you Barnes? Barnes, you know how to deal with him.
Zolf, I am going to cut to you.
Okay.
By this point, for the sake of ease, things took a little while. I would say that the Borealis is behind you at this point. It's been a couple of minutes since the last sweep passed over the ship.
I detect magic.
Okay. You detect... The best way to describe it is a little bit of static in the background, but given that before it knocked you on your ass, there was that much... It has returned to what you knew is a high level of background anyway in the frozen north, but not actually like harmful.
I think it's gone now. You're safe to come out.
Do we think that's a good idea? Do we think it's a good idea to all come out of this?
Yep. Carter immediately scarpers for the door.
Someone keep an eye on him.
I'm gonna try and grab him.
Everyone does. Carter skips to the. Restrained and helpless condition.
I think it is possible that you know once you go out you might be stuck or you might flip back to your body. Nobody's in a strict pair, are they? No one has just swapped.
I don't want to be stuck like this. Like, there's nothing wrong with being a kobold, but I'm not a kobold.
No one's saying it's bad to be the way they are now, but obviously we would all rather be ourselves. I think that's clear, and that's not an insult to say one would rather be oneself than someone else, even if that other person is someone you greatly admire and have a lot of affection for. And anyway.
And has really big biceps.
I just really want, like, a bloody Hamid doing, like, pull-ups on a door just being, like, extraordinary.
I'd say that's certainly the vibe that Kiko's giving off.
Kiko is in whose body?
Friedrich.
Kiko is mostly looking at the enormous arms with a certain element of appreciation.
Okay, I'm going to roll another Knowledge Arcana to see if there's anything that I know about how one might fix this. So,
would this count as a heal?
You can try, but you'll have to roll high.
Hamid would also like to roll Knowledge Arcana. Does he roll with his own stat or someone else's?
You roll with your own stat, because it's in your mind.
Yes.
This is a strict duelist mechanic, and I'll hear none to contrary.
Okay, I've got 20 non-natural. That's just the total.
Okay, cool.
25 total on Arcana.
Okay.
I only got 23 on a heal.
Okay, 23 on a heal. I'll deal with the heal, then I'll deal with a collaborative arcana check and suggest that you've had a sort of talk amongst yourselves a little bit to help each other out. On the heal check, there is a principle that you know, which you learnt at seminary, which is, at some point, something becomes a god's problem. This might very well constitute a god's problem, where it's more a, come on, please. I don't really have much more I can bring to bear than please. Here's the thing. You are aware that there are certain curses that could cause similar effects. However, mass effects aren't a thing. And normally they're extremely high-level dealies. Remove curse might work. However, you don't hold out much hope. For the Arcanas in the group, there is a specific spell that this seems to be a vaguely reminiscent of, which is called Magic Jar. Magic Jar is an openly evil necromantic spell that allows you to steal someone's soul from their body, put their soul in a jar, and then gives you the ability to put your soul in their body. However, it's not a direct swap. That is meant to imprison a soul, and you can do as you will with their body. This isn't a spell. That is the closest spell that you are all aware of.
Yep.
And it's worth pointing out that necromantic does not automatically mean evil.
Yes.
Necromantic means using magic to mess around with life forces that are normally messed around with by, like, divine energy. That's the best description of it. So Magic Jar may not necessarily be inherently evil, but it normally is, because very few people are actively giving their bodies up to people, if you see what I mean.
Yes.
But there is a direct parallel, which is that. That's all you've got. Magic Jar is a really high-level, difficult, expensive spell that will have probably been known to be performed one or two times basically in history. It is not a common thing, and historically has only ever been used for evil.
Cell's going to leave the room and check if Zolf's okay.
Cool. In which case, then, I am going to keep everyone in the box until a figure of authority says otherwise. In which case, yeah, Zolf, you see Cell coming up on deck, apparently completely unfazed in any way.
Hello. All right. So what magical nonsense has occurred?
Everyone except Wild's minds and bodies have swapped around seemingly randomly. There's quite a lot of uncomfortableness. Carter is in someone else's body, but we're making sure that,
that's a problem.
Yeah, that's kept hold of. You know, some people are very not happy about it. Some people are coping, but not great. I just wondered if you were okay, and if you needed someone to relieve you up here, because you have been here for hours.
No, I am broadly okay, and also given people seem to have gone through some stress, I am more than happy to stay up here. Do we know what's how to fix it? Because one of the problems is if you're in unfamiliar bodies, you're not going to be able to do your job, and we could crash out of the sky, which is immediately very bad for everyone here. So we should probably resolve it.
That is a problem. Do you have any spells that might, or magic powers in general that might? Because none of my potions would do that.
Do you know what's happened? You're better at the research side of this than I am.
It's a soul thing, as far as I can tell. There is a very cool evil, but like there is an interesting spell that it reminds me of that I heard about. It's called Magic Jar. I met it. There are a few.
You would have been made aware of that in your basic seminary stuff, Zolf, as someone's doing this, they're evil and they're trying to live forever.
I will assume that as sellers learned about it, that kind of thing, they would have learned from, like, some of the different cultures that they've encountered that may have done it in a different way, and so we'd be...
There
like,
are other ways of achieving
yeah,
it, yes.
Yeah, there would be ways that, like, in the elven civilizations in the jungles that just wouldn't necessarily use the same model of thinking about it. Like, so you take the soul and you put it into the ritualistic jar, which is made
great,
out
great.
Of...
Great, no, okay. Fine, but no. Skip to the bit where... How do they reverse it?
You just discussed this with Hamid, because we both made Arcana checks as well. And Hamid will mention that the spell, as he understands it, can be removed with a powerful enough to spell magic.
Correct.
But obviously, neither of us know whether that will work in this situation, because it's not exactly the same as the spell.
My concern would be, Mr. Smith, is if we dispel it, we'd have to dispel as a group, because if you dispel it for one, and then their soul is hovering around because someone else is maybe attached, the soul is attached to the body, and then you could end up with the soul just drifting around, and that's really not very...
Right, well, I can't do that.
Okay, that's useful to know.
Right, I can do that for individuals, but as you say, that's potentially the problem is, unless I... Get
do you
a
have
pair?
A soul jar maybe around so someone, you know, as a buffer, you know?
You know, I
as,
do...
I call it random access soul memory. You,
right.
So the soul can just go there while it's being used, but not...
No, and maybe, also okay. That sort of knowledge, well, at least from my broad education, is frowned upon. So they are not...
At the risk of cross-contaminations of genres, from your perspective, Zolf, we're basically talking Horcruxes. Like, that's the only situation this really comes up in terms of your education.
Say phylacteries, that's in-universe.
Yeah, there you go, phylacteries. Like, you're looking at phylacteries like, no one has ever used this for good as far as you're concerned. Like, it's big, it's kind of a red flag.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's been frowned upon. I don't know how to make one. You'd have to try and find somebody around here who would probably self-identify as a wrong'un. or broadly an undead monstrosity known as a lich, which I'm assuming you're aware of, but they're not looked at very kindly, and they usually don't have people's best intentions. Anyway, that aside, no, I don't have a soul jar. Now, the question is it like one effect? So it's like, has a link been forged? And if you break the link, they'll swap? Like, it's not like two effects, so I'm not doing one half of it. It's like, if you dispel it, it's you're doing both, and they go whoop.
But they're not in direct swaps. So
damn.
They'll... No.
All right. Yeah, no, fair enough. I could also remove curses.
That might work.
Curses are more sort of spiritual, right? They're less...
Is this a spiritual thing here? It seems more a magic thing. Arcana rather
than
divine.
Yeah, but curses are sort of both. But what I mean is they're a bit more... the spirit of the instruction, not the letter. Whereas stuff like, you know, dispelling magic is more about the letter of the spell, not the spirit. So it's like, curses are a bit more intent-based.
I'm going to jump back to literally everyone else. So everyone starts to realise that it isn't as simple as just, oh, new body, woohoo. Everyone is really struggling with coordination. I am going to explain this mechanically for people. Everyone has currently taken 4 dexterity damage.
Okay.
So what that means is that your dexterity score of your body is currently 4 lower than it should be. So everyone has taken 4 dex damage. Your physical scores, until told otherwise, are going to be the physical scores of your body.
Yep.
Your mental scores are going to be the mental scores of your mind.
I'm so squishy.
Everyone's starting to realise that the question of, are people going to be able to do their duties? Currently, no. No one will be able to do their duties.
Untrue.
Until this is dealt
Just
with.
About everyone in a kobold body will be better at their job than they were before.
This, I suppose, might be fair.
Except the kobolds that have swapped.
Yes, some of the kobolds haven't changed that much.
So, in terms of the room, Wild comes over to Hamid and Azu. So, unless we have a way of dealing with this, we're going to be looking at a lot of busy people who are still in their original bodies. Azu, do you know a way of healing this at all?
No. I mean, obviously, Aphrodite could if she wanted, but I can ask her, but...
Okay, you ask Aphrodite, Hamid.
Well, I mean, the only possibility, and as I was saying to Sel, is it is at least very slightly reminiscent of a spell that exists, and that spell can be ended with a dispelling
You're
effect.
You're thinking magic jar, aren't you?
Well, exactly, but it's you know, it's different enough, and it the fact that it's affected multiple people simultaneously, and it hasn't, you know, swapped individual pairs. It's mixed up a whole group of people. I think that does mean that if it was going to be fixed with a dispel, it would have to be a very powerful one, and it may be that invoking directly the power of a god is the only way to accomplish that in a powerful enough way. I'm not really sure, I'm afraid.
I'll go talk to Zolth and Sel, see if they have any solutions.
I mean,
try to keep everyone calm and occupied.
We'll do our best. I mean, and if you're talking about, you know, only letting the people who are currently in, you know, remain themselves, that is only 3 of you. That is not enough even in a skeleton crew situation to keep ship going very long at all.
I am aware of this. I'd keep that fact to yourself for now. Just don't draw attention.
Of course.
Try to keep everyone busy, and he opens the door and then more loudly just turns around, gives a little smile and goes, you know, under different circumstances, this could have been a recipe for a very good time, but here we are. We'll make the best of it. Closes the door and then heads up to Zolth and Sel, and we'll follow that perspective, because I could do with finishing up the Zolth and Sel conversation as well.
As he comes up, I think Sel will say, spoiler, no, we have no solution.
Wild stops. Wild turns around. Wild goes back below deck.
Wild.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Earhart?
In Tadika.
That's an interesting question.
Yes. She's still captain.
Yeah, she's in a cobbled body.
I'll go fetch her. This'll be interesting.
Don't you dare.
I wouldn't dream of it. The situation's pretty much sorting itself out as far as I'm concerned.
Wild.
Yes, all right. Wild heads downstairs and tries to gently lead Earhart out of the box.
I do think it's probably going to be safe to leave the box. I mean, if this was a immediately temporary effect, it would have ended already when we passed through the aurora. It is probably not a permanent effect. I mean, as I have said that there are spells similar and there are ways to end those spells, so we must assume that there's a way to end this effect, and I don't think leaving the box here will affect that. So I think everyone should feel free to do that, but also we should make an effort, as Sel very rightly said, to be respectful to the bodies we're in, and yes.
Can you give me a diplomacy check? I will be making penalties at my end.
Okay, I'll use Hamid's normal diplomacy score.
Yes.
Well, I rolled a 3, so 20.
Wow.
People aren't buying what you're selling.
Yeah.
Wild fetches Earhart and then takes Earhart up. Well, I say takes, sort of opens the door for Earhart, gestures. Earhart stands astonishingly shakily and starts, like, rattling out of the room. Wild doesn't, like, offer any physical assistance, but stands close enough that if a tumble's about to happen, he can intervene. As Earhart attempts to climb the ladder, he does have to intervene. He's actually comparatively gracious about it and just, you know, helps as Earhart literally stumbles and then reasserts. And Earhart very shakily comes over to Zolf and Sel. Okay, so this is new.
Yep.
Who do we have who's able-bodied? Is it just you two? I wouldn't count Wild as able-bodied at the best of times.
He knows how to fly the ship. I taught him. He's not too bad at it.
Fine. Realistically, we need to get people up and going. Do we have any way of doing that? Earhart gestures at Sel. You're good at the potions. Is there anything that you can do for this? Even to just mitigate the damage.
I'm afraid it's it doesn't really work like that. The kinds of the ways that I make potions, it's really only safe if I take them.
Okay.
What damage?
People are having a real hard time, like, coordinating themselves. Also, tails are awful.
Right.
It does what it wants to, and it's really difficult to kind of. Do we have anything that can at least help on the physical side effects? Let's leave it at that.
Right. Just go with me on this. Going to do a reflex test on you. And I'm going to do a heal check on Earhart to try and diagnose the problem. Obviously, we out of character know it's the damage, but it seems
that's fine.
Cheeky.
Give me a heal check,
like, oh.
And I might sneak you some extra info if you do well.
28.
Yeah, I'll sneak you some extra info. It's dex damage, mechanically. You know that it is not any kind of actual physical harm. This is most likely people are just really struggling because some of them have body parts that they didn't originally have. Some of them have extra limbs. And this is just a very big case of, like, tails count as limbs.
Oh, okay. Wait, are the tails prehensile?
Yes.
Yeah. Are they?
Not fully prehensile, but
semi.
They have enough control to use them as weapons, for example.
So as it stands, yeah, they're in a situation where they're all just really, really struggling with basic hand-eye coordination. But you do think that given enough adjustment time and given a little helping hand in the meantime, they will probably be okay.
So what time of day is it?
It feels to you, Zolf, since you have, like, continuous consciousness, you get, so does Sel, in fairness, you guess it should be maybe late morning. However, passage of time to read below decks is difficult, and there were certain somnambulatory effects and so on. Zolf, similar situation, you definitely phased out a few times and then brought yourself back to. And the light quality is starting to be quite difficult to read because you're out of your area of expertise in terms of, like, the world, and you're reaching the point where the day-night cycles are a little bit squiffy to your eye, so...
That's grand and all,
How
but
dark
I...
is it?
Oh,
like I said, late morning is how it feels.
That's grand and all. I have a time of day that my spells refresh when I meditate, so I need to know. Like, I guess I have a spiritual knowledge of the right time?
You need to meditate.
Okay, I need to go check. I think it's an hour. I will double check that. I reckon I should be able to sort this out. Give me just one second.
As you're having that conversation, I'm going to jump back to the box. Carter, now trussed up, and with Barnes actively holding down his tail, is just like, ah, oh, come on, this is fine. I can make this work. This is absolutely fine. There's no problems here. Everyone could... Oh, come on. I can make this work. Meanwhile, Friedrich starts to cry. Just starts crying quietly.
Little crying kobold.
And Skrark, in Kiko's body, calls the kobolds to him and starts having a conversation which I won't detail, but for anyone who does speak Draconic, pretty much boils down to a pep talk, which is, we knew when we started this that we were going to end up in weird, awful, terrible situations. We've been in worse. At least some of us are bigger. We can probably punch harder. And as all of this starts to play out, I think I'll take a break there, and when we come back, we can see what we can do about the situation. How about that?
Okay. Yay.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
And welcome back. So, Zolf, you had some plans in terms... Well, I say Zolf, Ben, you had some plans in terms of things that you can do that might help.
Yes. So if I get an hour to sit down and meditate, because I'm overdue for my calming down session, I can at least deal with the ability damage, so I can prepare lesser restoration 5 mm-hmm. times mm-hmm. and normal restoration 3 times, so I can hit 8 people. Which isn't everyone, but potentially it's, like, not the kobolds, because the kobolds have absurd decks, so they're probably in less of a problem.
Actually, yeah, it's worth mentioning that Earhart... What, like, I'm going to skip. Have to skip ahead time a little bit. Like,
well,
starts...
Yeah, it's whether or not people want to do something in the hour that I've gone away.
What I would say is just everyone will have noticed this. Anyone who is in a kobold body is obviously handling it better, apart from, apparently, Earhart.
Well, the other thing to mention is that Hamid's body has a normal dex of 18, so that person is also, you know, even with ability damage, is a pretty decent dex. I mean, Hamid has probably punched the wall several times, because Hamid's natural state is to be quite gestury, and his dex is currently 4.
We're all going to be fine.
Hamid's got, like, a quarter of his normal dex, and more than double his normal strength. So he is incredibly uncoordinated, and
he's going to be moving like an astronaut on the moon.
Yeah, I mean it's terrible. Like he can barely control his limbs, because he makes a small movement, he misjudges the movement, and it has more power. So he's probably and he's probably now trying to sit really still, because he's punched the walls and probably smacked people a fair few times as well.
So I'm going to stick with Zolf and just be... Okay, so we've got 5 people that you can lessen the issues with.
Yep.
And you've got 3 people that you can just deal with the problem.
Yeah.
And you can do this once a day. That's good.
Yeah, and I've got...
I need to ask then.
Well, I've got...
Oh, sorry,
I've got 4 uses of Dispel Magic in case we want to try it, but as Sel brought up, that could cause problems with souls with nowhere to go.
Problems... In that case, then, I am going to need to ask who you are choosing to help out from our enormous matrix of characters.
I am going to do an assessment on everybody and define the people who need it most to the people who need it least. So I would like an itemized list, please and thank you.
Are you factoring in roles on the ship, or is this just based on who is in the worst situation?
Who is in the worst situation?
I'd be very surprised if Hamid doesn't have the biggest drop in dex. He's gone from normal 18 all the way down to 4.
Hamid is suffering the worst.
Yes.
Is he getting... I need to know whether he's being fixed or semi-fixed.
Well,
as
okay,
I bring
okay,
up a name.
Okay.
Hamid is the worst category.
The worst, the second worst, and the third worst are getting fixed.
Okay.
Fifth, sixth, Hamid? Seventh, eighth, and ninth are getting probably fixed.
Okay. Hamid is fixed. Earhart is fixed. And...
Oh, and if you're fatigued or exhausted, then you're also not. That's nice.
It's probably one of the kobolds who is in, like...
Yeah, I am going to say...
Or Fried... Oh, no, Kiko's in Friedrich.
Skrark is your third.
Cool. So I do it on them.
Who's in Kiko's. So to be clear, that is Earhart, who's in Tanika's body. That is Hamid, who's in Azu's body. And Skrark, who is in Kiko's body.
So all penalties on dex are gone.
Good.
Hamid is now able to move around without accidentally hitting people.
I mean, but no, with a dex of 8, like, that's still a
he's
drop
still
of...
A, he's still clumsy compared to his normal.
Yeah, that's a drop of like 10, right?
But Azu can get around without.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Azu is used to Azu's body, right? So it's going to be an amusing clumsy
flavor,
rather than deliberate.
Azu's used to the like taller person problems of don't get excited, you'll probably hit your head on something.
Yeah. Hammond is still going to be clumsy, but he's no longer
Every
going to be
doorway.
Dangerously clumsy.
Well, he's no longer mechanically clumsy.
In terms of your secondary layer of people, realistically, with the exception of Sasra, who is in Earhart's body and apparently struggling a lot, they're all more or less of a similar situation, like pick and choose.
No. Give me a list of names.
I can do them in alphabetical order if you want.
That's fine. Sure. If the choice is arbitrary, give me an arbitrary choice.
Okay, cool. In that case, then, Sasra would be your top.
Right, stop. Heals two.
Okay. In that case, then, I would say Natan.
Heals one.
Merc.
Heals one.
Drawl.
Heals two.
And then, how many have you got left? Two? One?
One, by my count. You just used four.
I would say... let's go with Friedrich.
Four.
Okay, cool.
Right, so I can't do that again until tomorrow.
I like the idea of in character he's doing the stretches as well.
Oh, sorry, I kind of was.
It's definitely some help at least. I certainly feel more able to hopefully move around without hurting anyone. I think it is safe for us all to leave this box, and we need to relearn our roles in the ship while we figure out a way to solve this problem in a more permanent way, I think.
Right, yeah, well, Earhart, with your permission, I'm going to stay on the helm because I am probably the best placed at this point. And also, I can dispel magic a bunch of times. Cell raised some pretty valid concerns, but if you researchy types can put your heads together and work out what we can do, then I will help in any way I can.
Earhart chimes in at that point.
Right, okay, so... I want to prioritise everyone who's already been... fixed. We're going to be looking at a skeleton crew situation until Zolf can continue fixing people up.
I would assume most people are okay now, right? Everyone that's left is in a kobold body that went from 16 to 12 decks. So no one
Earhart
is incapacitated.
Earhart seems to be slightly overstating the issue.
Right, okay.
And I want to remove everyone from any active maintenance that is potentially risky. We are on keep the thing moving and nothing more. Zolf, my cabin.
I guess Wild take the helm?
Earhart hesitates. I guess so. Wild does a sort of little head bob like a... and he's just followed by a... aye, aye, Captain, of course.
When we walk past, I'll tap him on the shoulder and say, just don't push your luck, all right?
He basically starts whistling, I'm not going to do it down the mics, row, row, row your boat, as he starts steering.
Actually, if he does that, I will turn, grab him by the collar, pull him down close, saying, it's nice to see you cheered up.
Aww.
What, Wild is affronted and doesn't know what to say.
And then I'll just let him go and go off to the captain's cabin.
Worth saying, by the way, for all of the chaos that's happening, Wild genuinely does seem quite chipper. It might be the chipper of someone who's staring into the void a little bit, tactically speaking, but nonetheless, he has seen the funny side of it.
He loves a little bit of mayhem.
He does. Earhart heads into her cabin and immediately is clearly annoyed because she is slightly shorter than she used to be. So it's not completely unworkable, but every table is, the desk is a little bit too high, the bed is a little bit too high, everything's a bit too far away. She reaches into the drawer that's empty, slams the drawer shut again.
So, what did you want, Captain?
Right, everyone is going to be a little distracted, but I'm actually not worried in the short term. People are going to be... it's a novel situation. Okay?
Yeah.
The longer this runs, the more likely we're going to have problems.
Yep.
Reality is going to start to dawn on people. Probably one at a time. They're going to take it hard. And when they do, they're probably going to need to be removed from active duty.
Well, Azu, Hammond, and Cell are on the case. So I'm sure they'll be able to find some sort of solution.
I need you to keep an eye on Friedrich.
Yep.
And I need you to keep an eye on Kiko.
Right. Who are they in again?
Ask Cell. They wrote all of the name tags.
Yeah,
all
right.
Kiko, conveniently, is in Friedrich. Friedrich is in Driak.
I shall check. That sounds correct to me.
And yeah. I can't remember who the third one is that you wanted.
No, that was
just Friedrich.
Oh, yeah, no, yeah, Friedrich is in it, and yeah, I see.
As much as I despise the man, I think Wilde might have a point. I think it might be worth finding the... If we can push the novelty, it'll buy us more time.
All right. I mean, look, at the best of times, I'm not exactly a party starter, so maybe...
I mean, as opposed to myself, who, of course, is renowned for my
No, I'm just saying, maybe as captain, delegate it to, I don't know, Amadon... Azu?
I'm delegating it to you. You want to delegate it to them? Fine.
All right, I'll delegate away.
Earhart, give me a sense motive, actually.
Yes. 28. Rolled a 19, so...
Ah, oh my. Earhart has none of the real fire that has come to characterise Earhart, both original Earhart, like Earhart Classic, which was kind of a bit punchy in a fun way, and then new improved Earhart, who is kind of punchy in a bad way. This is someone who is going through the motions in terms of being a bit of an arse, but in honesty, you get the impression that their fire's gone out again. They are starting to echo Earhart when you found them in the hostel a bit. They're very down. I don't know how else to put it.
When I realised that, I'm like, Earhart, look, that went, all things considered, pretty well. No one's dead. Everybody is in a functioning body.
At least the ship's okay. That was the bit I was worried about. If something had happened to the ship, I don't know what I'd have done.
Wrong way round, Earhart. Crew first, then ship. As long as ship don't.
Fine.
Right? But, look, they need you right now. You're the captain. So, do what you do well. You are good at this. You can be good at this. You have been good at this. Don't let... Look, right? If you lose your passion now, all you've done is let Guivre win. You may have lost this battle, but
the
don't lose this...
The tail starts whipping back and forth of its own accord.
You may have lost that battle, but don't
lose... The rug
lose...
tears underneath her feet.
But don't lose this war, right?
It's a fair point, Mr. Smith. Leave this with me.
Look, don't coop yourself up in here when Amadon, Azu, and people arrange some fun, you know, keeping your morale up stuff. Make use of it, because your morale could do with some keeping up.
Go look after our crew, Mr. Smith.
Yes, Captain.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smith.
And I'll leave. And then go find Cell and be like, so who's in who?
While you're in there, Cell, I was conversing with Wild, like, so who? Like, quietly and subtly, like, so who? If you had got body swap, who would you have chosen to be? Like, you know, just...
Sorry, who's that with? Is that with Zolf or Wild?
With Wild. Ooh, just thinking...
That's a good question.
Yeah, it would be very interesting to be short for a while. And, I mean, the kobolds are extremely good at you know, small tasks with their hands. And anyway, that would be interesting. But
Azu.
Oh, right.
There are a lot of people that I grew up with that I would love to be able to pick up and throw around and... maybe punish just a little bit for treating me the way they did when I was younger. That could be fun. I could have fun with that. Not in a terrible way, you know, just sort of looming. It's very difficult to loom.
I'm not a
looming type of person.
I know.
And I think Azu underuses that. I really think Azu could get a good loom on, and she just never does.
That's
you know,
true. You don't really.
It feels like a wasted opportunity.
Yeah. She's so gentle.
You know, the door
really
opens and they're like, oh my goodness, who is that? And then you're there and your shadow stretches out over them in golf. It's so dramatic, and I just feel like it's not potentially... There's an option there that's just not been explored, you know?
I can absolutely see that.
Wild seems very both into this conversation and has clearly already considered this option.
Yeah, I mean, it's the natural thing to think, isn't it? It's like, who would I be? I'm like, yeah, you know, I mean, it would be, I don't, would, if I turned into Hammond, would I be able to do the dragon breath? I'm very excited about the dragon breath. That would be extremely cool. There's like an explosion bit in a direction. I've always struggled with those. Often in the face instead of in the other person's face is my experience.
All I would say with Hammond is that if you aren't gaining his magical abilities, the amount of upkeep required for that as a look, it's just not feasible, Sel.
That's another tree. You'd need the magic, don't you? You'd need the magic.
Do you have any idea how much product he'd burn through?
True.
There's no ship big enough in the world.
You managed to keep your hair in Nick without magic? Sorry, I shouldn't have.
Wild looks left, looks right. Make sure there's no one listening in. Mm-hmm. I've gotten in the habit of sticking my head out of the porthole first thing in the morning. Gives it a bit of body.
Yeah. Sel is a little awkward because of the whole, like... I shouldn't have said about the magic.
That's fine.
I was thinking, if you... I mean, if you're interested, like, I just... I could perhaps show you how I make potions, because that it isn't magical, and so it shouldn't interact with your magical thing, but it has a lot of the same effects.
That is a very interesting offer, Sel. I would like to talk to you more about that, Sel, when I'm not currently steering someone else's vessel.
Sure, you come and chat with me whenever you like.
Yes, I think I will. Good, yes. Well, if you'll excuse me, I'm...
I'm our lives quite, lie in your hands. Yeah, I should, sorry.
Very, very much
away.
So, you know. Quite the position of authority as the old air hand that I am. Grizzled air hand Oscar Wilde, Esquire.
Sel's eyebrows dance somewhat. Right, yes.
Buccaneer extraordinaire.
I see. Very interesting.
Swashbuckling debutante Oscar Wilde.
I mean, I don't know if I'd go... I'm not familiar with those words, but I'm sure that they describe you aptly. You should... you... Those finger guns and
terror of the skies, Oscar Wilde. Master of the sheets, Oscar Wilde.
Do you mean the ship, the sails, sheets? Are you... Doing
and on that, I think I'm
going to
gently let this episode fade its way out as you are slowly forced to engage with Wilde back, unfortunately, in to a degree, an element of glory. Yeah, that feels a sensible way to round it out.
Aww.
How are we feeling? We ready to accept our new situation?
Never. I'm going to get my big girl back.
Well, I feel like we can explore the ramifications and the ways of doing that next week, then.
I hope you've prepared an out, Alex, because I'm out of ideas. And while I'm enjoying being a giant buff lady orc, I feel like I'm the one with the best end of this deal, if I'm honest.
What are you? I'm just saying that now I'm a physical specimen and I'm pretty charming to boot.
That's true, actually. You have too many stats right now.
Yeah.
Take heart. When have I ever given Hamid, when have I ever given Bryn nice things? Yeah, that's what I thought. See you next week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by Rusty Quill and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial Share-alike 4.0 international license. Today's episode was directed by Alexander J. Newell and produced by Hannah Preisinger. To subscribe, buy merchandise, or join our Patreon, visit rustyquill.com. Rate and review us online, tweet us at The Rusty Quill, visit us on Facebook, or email us via mail@rustyquill.com. Join our community on the Discord or via Reddit at r/rustyquill. Thanks for listening. Hi everyone, Alex here. I'd just like to take a moment to thank some of our patrons. Pewp Pewp, Anna Sprout, Impressionist Cowboy, Frank Voss, Jürgen Was Right, Prince, Kyra Munro, Kate 2209, Jennifer Williams, Freshly, Madeline Werner, Kendall, Yarrow T. Leaf, Rebecca Adamson, A.C. Reynard, Kathleen Arnett, Latitude Brown, Oscar Ron, Courtney McCann, Steph Abriel, The Good Heathen,
Cheyenne Morse, Yagoda Lisak, Henry Cook, Leal, Transmask King Trexel, Kirsten Wright, Fanny Bordraz, Honesty Zand, Jeff Boggs, Emma Stettler, Kelly Conrad, E.A. Fleming, Alex Friedman, Minnie, Kelly, M.J. Gonzalez, Alison Wilgus, Jessica Marr, Arthur, Geordie, Hexa Hypatia, Joya, Jennifer Recchio, Jenna, Mads England, J. S. Breham, DJ Dembo 13, Stephen Remington. Thank you all. We really appreciate your support. If you'd like to join them, go to www.patreon.com/rustyquill and take a look at our rewards.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.